there something significant about the transition that's taking place here? Because that's what you have now. It's Moses is going off the scene and Joshua is coming in. So could we say something about the type? Because I believe it sets out a beautiful type of Christ here, both in Moses and to be developed in Joshua. So could we say something about that?
I believe when we study the life of Joshua, as we do, the chapters that we miss out, that we don't speak of, are the ones, though, that were essential in the training and preparing of them in that next role that they were to play. And I was thinking, I don't know if this exactly will answer your question, but in typically when in chapter after the uprising of Korah, and when that took place, when God says he would decide, and you notice what the people say there in that chapter, in chapter 16, when it says here that there was these, just read those verses, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said, ye take too much on you. Now here we notice an uprising against those whom God had appointed, leadership. And then we find how God decided and chose whom he had chosen with a rod that budded, that was priest. So the people, God did not destroy them because of the intercession of the people. The very ones that interceded for them, they wished to do away with them. And yet it depended upon them. Now there's a beautiful picture of the ways of God with his people in the midst of failure. He has those who will stand up for him. And I just at this point want to bring in one thought in connection with the tent of meeting. Maybe I missed it that was said. But it said, as many as sought the Lord went there. We don't know how many there were. We're not given a list of that. It wasn't only the two or three that are recorded. But this shows us a great principle that God sets forth. There is a place where he can be met. They went there with intent. They didn't hope that they would be there. That went there with that in view. And whatever they left behind, whatever stage and what they might find there, didn't matter. They went there to seek the Lord. And in seeking the presence, that's true separation. Finding his presence, being in his presence, that's the true character of one that is separated and that God will bless. And as pointed out with the three things, the presence of the Lord, the Word, and the Spirit of God, they're essential. Now, back here to this account that we're considering now in Numbers 27, after that, this transition, there was a reason why Moses could not bring them into the land. Because in a chapter there before that, in chapter, 19? Chapter 19. In the end, chapter 20 rather, when again the people, and mind you, it's the second generation now in chapter 20, and the Lord said to Moses, verse 7, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye to the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Now you notice he tells them to go and speak to the rock. But Moses took the rod from before the Lord, as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Now notice, here's where the meekest man in all the earth, he lost his cool. And he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. And this was the reason, well, we find that elsewhere, that he was not the one that could bring the people into the land. But Moses lifted up his hand, and he smote it with a rock, with the rock with the twice with his rod. He did not use the rock, the rod of Aaron that had budded, speaking of intercession. Only speak to the rock. This was now the way God was going to lead on his people. Not by the rule of the law. But the law could not do. It was weak through the flesh. God has done now and typically here sets forth this in the disobedience of Moses prohibited him from getting into the land. Typically, we find, I believe, that the ministry of Moses came to an end with his death. And so there again we find that great truth. Moses was the lawgiver in that sense. And the law could not bring them into the possession of the blessings. God had another one. Joshua, Christ in spirit, is the one whom he chose, raised up and made fit to bring into the land. And so we're thinking of Joshua now. Well, all of this passed on. He witnessed all of this before, what we read in these chapters. And now comes to the point where God knows whom he has chosen in spite of man's weakness. And here I just want to bring in a very blessed encouragement, I feel, for us. Who of us is not encumbered with all kinds of weakness? And for weakness, the Lord intercedes. But for disobedience and sin, he had to die on the cross. And he holds us against our account, against us, if we act in disobedience. And so here we find that transition taking place. Moses recognizes his service has come to an end. What I wanted to say by way of an encouragement, with all the weakness that characterizes us, are we aware that God has something in mind for you? He has called you for something. And have you lost sight of that? Brother David mentioned about, do we value the assembly as we should outside the camp? Well, now, if God has shown us the light, his presence, not that we have something special, but he is special. To find his presence, is that what we are conveying? Is that the course that leads us on to have our eyes fixed on him? And that is important for us and what we convey to our young brothers and young sisters in the meeting. The reason we're there, not because we're right and the others are wrong, but because the Lord is there. And we recognize his presence and to practically be in the enjoyment of that. This is what God will bless.